بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، respected علماء الكرام، elders, beloved brothers in Islam, when the command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of Hajj becoming fard was revealed, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took to the minbar of Medina Munawwara and he delivered a khutbah, a sermon in which he informed the Sahaba radiallahu anhum that Hajj had now become fard, had now become obligatory upon each and every one of them. A Sahabi by the name of Aqra bin Habis radiallahu anhu approached Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said to him, "Akulla amin ya Rasulullah," that, "O Nabi of Allah, tell me, has Hajj become fard upon us once in a lifetime, or is it every year fard upon us?" Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kept silent. He did not reply to him. For a second time, the Sahabi posed the question, "Akulla amin ya Rasulullah," to tell me, has Hajj become fard every year upon us? The second time, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam remained silent and did not reply to him. On the third time, when he posed this question, "Akulla amin ya Rasulullah," Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him that, "Lo qultu na'am la wajabat," had I replied in the affirmative and said that yes, Hajj is fard upon you every year, then due to my status as a shari', as a legislator of laws, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have made Hajj fard upon each and every one of you every year. "Walo wajabat ma kumtum biha," and had this been the case, that Hajj is fard upon each and every one of you every year, you would have been unable to fulfill this command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave him some advice. He said, "Dharuni ma taraktukum," that those matters and affairs in which I have not given you any command, I have left it ambiguous, I have not explained it in detail to you, then leave those laws, leave those injunctions and do not pry into it. فَإِنَّمَا هَلَكَ مَنْ كَانَ قَبْلَكُمْ بِكَثْرَةِ سُؤَالِهِمْ وَاخْتِرَافِهِمْ عَلَىٰ أَنْبِيَائِهِمْ. Because he says that the downfall of the people of the past was because of two reasons. The first reason, that they continued to pry and delve into those matters which did not concern them. And the second reason, that they deferred and they had ikhtilaf with their anbiya, their messengers. It is upon this that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the verse, "Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, la tas'alu an ashya'a in tubdalakum tasu'kum," that, "O those who have brought iman, do not ask regarding those things which, if they had to be disclosed to you, they would cause harm to you, it would become difficult upon you." And this is a principle which ulama have explained, "Abhimu ma abham Allah," that those things, especially when it comes to deen, when it comes to the Holy Quran, those things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has left ambiguous, then we are also requested and commanded to leave those things ambiguous. We find that many times people ask regarding taqdeer, regarding predestination, or we find women folk commonly ask, why is it that men only will be given the bounty of the Hur Ain in Jannat, and women are not given the same? Or people want to know that why is a man allowed to marry four wives and not more? These type of questions come to mind. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains in another verse, speaking about the keepers and the angels that are taking care of Jahannam. Allah says, "Alayha tis'ata ashar," that the number of keepers of Jahannam are 19 angels. And then Allah says, "Wama ja'alna ashab an-nari illa malaika. وَمَا جَعَلْنَا عِدَّتَهُمْ إِلَّا فِتْنَةً لِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا," that we have chosen this number of 19, which is an odd number. You and I would have expected it to be 20 or 25 or a round number. But Allah says, we chose this number of 19 as a test for the disbelievers. لِيَسْتَيْقِنَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابِ وَيَزْدَادَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِيمَانًا, and so that those who were given the book, the people of guidance, they may get yaqeen that this is the truth from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this number of 19, يَزْدَادَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِيمَانًا, rather than causing a doubt in the hearts of the believers, it will increase them in their iman, their faith, their conviction in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when it comes to our deen, when it comes to matters of sharia, then we should not pry and delve into those things which do not concern us. In one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained, "مِنْ حُسْنِ إِسْلَامِ الْمَرْءِ تَرْكُهُ مَا لَا يَعْنِي," that part of the beauty of a person's Islam is that he leaves out those things which do not concern him. In other words, those things which have no dunyawi benefit, no benefit for a person in this world, neither is there any ukhrawi benefit for him in the hereafter, he does not get involved in these matters. Now we find a person has met into an accident, and instead of making dua for the person, we want to know what time did it take place, who did he knock, who was at fault. These type of questions which do not concern us. And not only does it not concern us, but will be of no benefit to us. So this principle, if we can bring into our lives, that we do not pry into those matters which do not concern us, then we will find that every moment of our life will be spent fruitfully and in those things which will benefit us in this world and in the hereafter. Thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us in Suratul Ma'idah regarding a very important aspect of our life. And that is for each and every person to have his affairs in order before the time of maut comes, before he passes away. In Makkah Mukarramah, there was a Muslim by the name of Budail. And Budail on one occasion set out for a business trip towards Syria. And he took with him two Christian companions of his by the names of Tamim and Adi. And as they went on this journey, Budail became ill. And he realized that his time was up and he was about to pass away. So he took out a piece of paper and he made on it an inventory, a list of all those items that he had with him. And then he sealed this letter and he gave it to his companions. And he made a bequest to them and said that when I pass away, kindly take all my belongings and distribute it amongst my heirs in Makkah Mukarramah and hand over to them this letter. So these two companions of his, after his demise, they returned to Makkah Mukarramah and they then distribute his belongings amongst his heirs. But before this, they take out a certain cup, a certain goblet, which was made of silver and was very valuable, and they keep this with them. Not knowing that this letter contains an inventory, a list of all those items which he had with him. When the heirs of Budail receive this letter, and they go through it, they now realize that something is missing. So they now take this matter up to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he calls for these two Christians, Tamim and Adi. And as is the case, when any court case is presented into an Islamic court, the first step is that witnesses are requested. So the heirs of Budail, being the claimants, making an allegation against these two Christians, they are requested to bring witnesses. But of course, they are unable to bring witnesses. There is no proof that this goblet, this cup belonged to Budail. So thereafter, if witnesses cannot be brought, then the defendant is asked to take an oath. So these two Christians then take an oath and say that they did not steal it, they have not heard of this goblet, and then judgment is now passed in their favor. After some time passes, these two individuals, Tamim and Adi, then take this goblet and they sell it to a goldsmith in Makkah Mukarramah. And now when people come to know of this, they start questioning them once again. So now they change the story and say that we had purchased this goblet from our friend Budail prior to his demise. And now once again this case is brought to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now in this case, these two individuals are the claimants. So they are asked to present proof, to present witnesses. They are unable to present witnesses. The heirs of Budail are now asked to take an oath. They take an oath and eventually this case is then closed and they are commanded to pay the heirs of Budail a certain figure, a certain amount of money. But look at the confusion, look at the chaos. And this is at a critical time. Somebody beloved has passed away. And now the family members are running around trying to find proof, trying to find witnesses. So when it comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had mentioned that it is not befitting of a Muslim person who has any item of value that he allows two nights or more to pass and he does not write it down in his will, he does not make a record of it. We find it has been recorded regarding one of our akabir that on one occasion one murid of his had gone to his house and he found that throughout his stay there, whether it was a few hours or so, he found that the sheikh was quite uneasy, restless. And as the murid woke up to leave, the sheikh goes and takes the chair on which he was sitting and puts it into the room next door. And then he comes back and now he is at ease. So the murid questions him and asks him, this is something very strange, you were quite restless. And as soon as you move the chair to the next room, you seem to fall at ease once again. So the sheikh then explains to him and says that I had explained to my wife and my family members that all the household items that are in this room belong to me. And all the household items that are in the next room belong to my wife. And I feared that if maut had to overtake me right now, this chair was left in my room and it would have now been unrightfully distributed amongst my heirs. Now look at the consciousness firstly of death, that death could strike at any time. And secondly, to what extent did he have his affairs in order? Now we may think something like this is insignificant. These are small things. But let us ask ourselves, Allah give us long life with sihhat and afiyat. But if one of us, most of us are fathers, are husbands, if we have to pass away tomorrow, then there now is a dispute between the wife and the children. The vehicles belong to who? The household items belong to who? The fridge, the cutlery, the crockery, who did it belong to? So these are things which we are requested to have in order, have it recorded, have witnesses, let them sign. So that at the time of our demise, when emotions are running high, when family members are sorrowful and full of grief, there is no problem, there is no difficulty. May Allah give us tawfiq wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.